They played well. We didn't play well. I thought he needed a break. I thought he needed to come in and think about it.
I've never yanked guys. I've never done that because I didn't want him in the game anymore, Sam. I think he needed to come over and think about it.
Old Bulls head coach named Jim Boylan. Of crap, you are so full. Your dumb schemes have ruined dreams of playoffs for my Bulls. The players, they despise you like Denzel Valentine. When you bench Zach, will he push back by scoring 49?
It's emotional time.
The pressers you're presiding leave me bereft of hope. You should go, for now I know our head coach is a dope.
Three fourth quarter collapses in eight games. So are you surprised that the team's shrinking in the big moments?
You're always disappointed when you don't win.
I think it's wise that it's emotional time.
Hi, this is Neil Funk, and you're listening to Frank on the Chicago Bullseye.
Hello, this is Nate Friedel, and you're listening to Frank on the Chicago Bullseye.
Hi, this is Chuck Swirsky, and you're listening to Frank on the Chicago Bullseye.
I'm Bob Love of the Chicago Bulls, and you listen to Freddie.
Hello again, everybody. Welcome to another exciting edition of the Chicago Bullseye. We have our very special friend and guest of the show, the most popular guest on the show, the great Kevin Anderson of NBC Sports Chicago. Kevin, how you doing, brother?
Well, I thought you were going to intro Casey Johnson there. I don't know about being the most popular guest of the show, but it's good to be on, Fred. I mean, we had, it's dark days for the Bulls fandom right now. I feel like it's like Order 66 was just executed, and the Jedi Order is now fallen. So it's dark days right now.
Dark days indeed. I can't even see the red foam finger in front of my face. It's so dark right now in the land of the beloved. I can't even believe we're here. You know, Kevin. I think it's kind of funny. I hear a lot of people now jumping online and jumping on television and torching, you know, Dogville Nation just torching the front office, but. You know, 60 days, it was only about 60 days ago where I heard a lot of these same people talking about how good the moves were that the Bulls did in the offseason. I'd like to get your number one, number two, and number three reasons in order of why you think we're here. Why are the Bulls, why has this been such a tire fire of a start?
All right, number one, I think, is the defense and the defensive system. It was an issue 2 weeks ago. It's an issue now. I mean, hell, it was an issue really 2 games into the season. They are just, even though they are average, middle of the pack in terms of defensive rating in this league, they are awful rebounding, and I think their rebounding issues are completely stem from their defensive scheme. Their main rebounders are often out of position and 15 feet from the rim. When a shot goes up, they've got guys who just should be better rebounders, but seemingly aren't, like Lauri Markkanen, and so I think it really their defense to me is the main reason why they struggle late in games when it slows down, and I think that's how they still, though not as aggressively as they used to, but they still continue to blitz the pick and roll, and their rotations just aren't there. They don't rotate quick enough, and that's either the players or the scheme or both. But we're as we record this, they're 19 games in, and it's very difficult to watch. And like, back to your point about where we thought this team was going to be, I thought this was going to be a 35 to 37 win team when we entered opening night in Charlotte. And here we are, and clearly right now, I think they're on pace for like 23 wins, which puts you one more than last year. And then that's tough to swallow because we were all expecting, from fans to the front office, to the players, them to be a competitive team. And the latest loss seems to be the proverbial worst loss of the season. And so it's been tough. It's been tough.
They're still only, though, believe it or not, 2 games out of the last playoff spot. So there's still a lot of time left for them to turn this around. and potentially grab that last playoff spot. The teams in between the Bulls right now and that spot are the Washington Wizards, Hornets, Pistons, and Orlando Magic. Do you feel that the Bulls are better than all those teams ahead of them?
They should be better, right? Like they should be better than all those teams. You know, you look at certainly the Wizards are great offensively, but they're an absolutely horrific defensive team. Mm-hmm. They put up some points, but man, they will give up 130 and 140 in a regulation game like it was nothing. They should be better than the Wizards. They should be better than the Hornets, but if it weren't for a miracle effort by Zach LaVine, they'd be 0-2 against the Hornets. So I'm like, are they better than the Hornets? No. They certainly have beaten the Pistons twice this year, so you would say they're likely better than the Pistons. And Orlando has been inconsistent, but sitting at 7-10, they've been, I would love to have a 7-10 record right now for the Bulls. 7-10 would feel great. But at 6-13, 19 games in, it's tough to swallow. So like, I can't definitively say that they are better than the Wizards or that they are better than the Hornets because the evidence up to now, says they're not.
So on November 29th, right now, are you leaning to bet? If you had a bet, what would you say? They're going to make it or not? And what percentage would you be at confident?
Oh, well, what percent chance would I give them of making the postseason right now?
Yeah, so would you say, like, if you say, yeah, they're going to make the playoffs, and I'm about 65%, I think it's 65% likely they'll make the playoffs, so lean in one way or the other.
I'd say it's right now 5% likely they would make the playoffs.
Oh my gosh.
It's low. Like it's really low. And the main reason being is the way they have played and what their record is, they have had a fairly easy schedule so mm-hmm. far this season. And if they were 6-13 against the powerhouse teams in the East and even West, I'd go, you know what? They're being competitive. They've been close games. But that's not the case. They're 6-13 against some of the worst teams in the league, and they also are take not only quarters and halves, but games off, and they are wildly inconsistent. And there's nothing that I've seen from this team that makes me say, you know what, they're going to turn it around in a week or 2 weeks. You know, they don't have a superstar who's missed the first month of the season who's waiting to come back. There's nobody walking through that door in order to save things right now. And yes, they miss Otto Porter, and they really miss Otto Porter because wing depth was their major roster issue entering the season, and Otto being hurt has completely exposed that weakness on his team. So Otto being back in a healthy Otto will change things and make things for the better, but Otto is not like the answer. You know, if Otto's been healthy all season long, it's not like they are even a 500 team. Maybe they have one more win under their belt. So, I haven't seen anything from this team that leads me to say they can turn it around. They are wildly dysfunctional on the court, and they seemingly are dysfunctional off the court.
Yeah, wing depth's partly an issue because their idiot coach refuses to play Denzel Valentine, who I think in the limited amount of minutes that he's been given has proven that he's at least healthy enough now to contribute on the offensive end. You know, he's not a great answer, but he's much better than the answers they have on this team with Hutch injured and obviously with Otto out. So let's talk about Jim Boylan. Do you feel he should be fired?
Oof, that is a tough question to ask. I don't think this is all on Jim Boylan. I think if you were to fire Jim Boylan tomorrow, tonight, Tuesday, whatever it might be, I don't think their issues are solved. I don't think everything with this team is just about the head coach. I don't think if you were to elevate one of the assistants that they suddenly would be playing better. My main issue with Jim Boylan is his rotations and certainly how their defensive scheme works. How much of that, certainly the coach has to sign off on it. How much of that is Boylan's system, I don't fully know. But I would say getting rid of Boylan doesn't solve what's wrong with this team. Like this team is a combination of roster issues, coaching issues, player slump issues. Like there's no like one fix. There's no one thing you can go, all right, do this and you're going to be good. I don't know if getting rid of Boylan would solve those issues, Fred.
But doesn't the fact that Lauri Markkanen's taken a step back, more than a step back, he's taken 10 steps back. Zach LaVine, I still think overall, even though he had a great game against Charlotte and he's had some nice games this year, overall, I think he's been a disappointment to me, although much limited disappointment. Almost every player on this team outside of Dunn has taken a step back, and isn't that partly on the head coach in terms of developing the talent?
Yeah, and the player regression is, aside from the record, is the most troubling thing I am seeing, about this team so far. Markkanen has not only regressed, he's taken a significant step back. And at first I thought it was just he was going through a slump, but there's something going on there. I don't know if it's oblique. I don't know if he's got mono. I don't know if it's nutrition. I don't know if it's a personal thing. I don't know if it's the way he's being used. I don't know if it's a combination of all of the above. Something's wrong with marketing. And he looks checked out in games. At times, he tries to be aggressive, but it's seemingly he's in the misguided wrong spot. Like, he's been trying to dunk on people, which you certainly want a guy to be aggressive, but then he goes entire stretches of time with taking, without taking a shot. Like, put it this way, in Wednesday's game, he had 8 points. He got half his points on one play. He had a four-point play in that first half. He had half his points on one play. And so, he just disappears for long stretches of time. And certainly, the minutes thing is an issue. He's averaging less than 30 minutes a game, which, getting back to the rotations, I feel like these starters should all be playing 32 to 36 minutes a game. But certainly, I think Zach should be playing 36 a night. Yeah. Markkanen should not be averaging 29.3 minutes a game. And so that's an issue. And, the other guys who have regressed, certainly not necessarily from last year with the Bulls, but Satoransky's not playing, at the level he should be playing at right now. That's a significant issue that we've seen from Satoransky, just being wildly consistent. Thad Young is not playing anywhere near we thought he was going to play at. Certainly Chris Dunn overall is playing better. Certainly his defensive ability is shown, and certainly his steals. But he's been awful shooting the perimeter, even worse than he has been career-wise.
Yep.
Wendell Carter has been, Wendell Carter on the surface, averaging near a double-double, seems like he's making a step up, but we're not seeing the same Wendell Carter we saw last year. He's not getting any even mid-range shots. He's not being really that effective offensively, and his defense in terms of blocks is completely regressed. Certainly a large part of that is because of the way he's been used from a scheme standpoint. Zach, even though he's played well in the last week, his numbers have dropped off from last year, even though they're playing at a higher pace. Mm-hmm. I think I personally expected most of these players to go up significantly because of the team playing at a higher pace, which they have been. But because of the minutes distribution, because of the rotations, guys have taken a step back. And outside of the record, I'm really concerned about the development of the players on this roster and the seemingly lack of development that's happening with most of these guys. Like, Zach can get his own shot, and Zach is really good at creating his own shot. Outside of Zach, Kobe, and that's probably it. Everyone else needs plays run for him. I honestly believe that Markkanen needs 10 plays run for him every night, specifically designed to get him the ball and have him be the primary scoring option on that play. And we're not seeing that. And Markkanen is certainly, things are happening organically in the offense for him, but his perimeter shot has just been absolutely horrific. And so he's missing a ton of wide open shots. So yeah, I'm very concerned about the player regression right now that's occurring.
One thing about marketing, and I'd love, maybe if you had a chance, Kevin, to speak with, Casey or some of the guys on the team. But one thing I was curious about is I worked in the sustainability space for about a year, and we did a lot of work with companies who, food manufacturers, food and beverage manufacturers. And I went to a lot of conferences where there were vegetarians there speaking, doctors on one side of the business saying that you should become a vegetarian, and doctors on the other side who said you should be eating meat. And one interesting note that I keep on coming back to in my head about Lowry is I think he's become a full-time vegetarian. And one
I think he's actually full-time vegan. Vegan. Which is even a little bit even more.
Exactly. And one interesting note from a doctor was, and even the doctors who promote becoming a vegan on the side will admit you should take a B12 vitamin. And that always kind of like stuck with me. And his point was if man was eating for, 300,000 years and they didn't have access to a B12 pill, what does that tell you? That it's maybe not natural to be for humans to be vegans. And he went on to explain that he used to be a vegan. And he noticed after about 5-6 months, even while he was taking the B12, he got weaker. He didn't have as much endurance. And it was just one doctor who I spoke with. And it kind of stuck with me because I wonder if that's what's happened to Larry. It seems like I could be wrong, but I think he recently became a vegan. And maybe that's having an issue with his strength and his endurance in games because he hasn't really been the same since that heart condition in February.
Yeah, and so it's my understanding he's been vegan for at least the spring, possibly even earlier than that. I think it's worth exploring, and certainly I think right now that's something that would be of interest in terms of what it could be. Certainly, a person can be vegan, and as long as they are being very smart with their diet, with their vitamins, can be totally fine.
Yes.
What I don't know is if Markkanen is being very smart with his diet and is supplementing his diet. There's something there, and certainly I think we're kind of looking for answers of why Markkanen could be struggling, and that certainly could be an option. That could be if he's not getting proper nutrition, if he's not getting enough calories, if he's not getting enough protein. That certainly could be affecting his play, because as an elite athlete, you really need to be very smart about what you're putting in the body.
Yes.
And that goes on the other extreme too. You can't be, putting on, you can't have the Eddie Curry diet, as it goes. You need to be really smart with what you're doing and what you're eating. I mean, there's a reason that teams hire nutritionists and hire chefs, so that the athletes and what they're putting into their body, at least under company time, are the best of what they can be, because to really have a maximum output, you need to be really smart about what you're ingesting, and that can greatly impact performance. So, that's certainly worth exploring, and, it absolutely could be a key reason why that's happening. It could be not, though.
He could be
really smart with his diet, and it may not be a reason.
Obviously looks great, and we all should be eating less meat for sustainability reasons, but just for an athlete, I think it is questionable to go in that direction. Let's talk a little bit about Pax and Gar Forman. I guess this is a bigger question. How surprised are you that Jim Boylan still has his job after the loss to the Heat, the loss to the Portland Trailblazers, and then the loss to Golden State, arguably three of the worst losses for the Chicago Bulls in the past decade, in a row, and he still has his job? Are you surprised that he does, or do you feel like he's going to be the head coach by the time the season's over?
Yeah, I still think he's going to be head coach by the end of the season. And by the way, before we get on that, I found something interesting looking up the market and diet thing. You recall last April he had this issue with, they said, where it was he saw a cardiologist and they looked at him, and he eventually, at the very middle of April, was cleared to resume basketball activities. Mm-hmm. The team release said that the doctors who looked at him, quote, after further testing, physicians determined the cause of Markkanen's symptoms to be primarily related to the combination of dehydration and nutrient deficiency.
Hmm. There you go.
And this was the team release on April 10th. Dehydration and nutrient deficiency were the causes of the symptoms that Markkanen was having last spring. Now, certainly, that you would hope would have been addressed at the time, mm-hmm. and would have said you've got to be doing X, Y, and Z in order to keep your diet up and then be smart about things. Over the summer, without him being in the United States, was there an issue there? Did they have the same ability to keep track of him when he was in Finland? Has he been doing that back in the U.S. and certainly since training camp? Maybe. But certainly that would lead me to believe that that was certainly a factor and could be a significant factor for why he's struggling right now.
Yeah, he's the biggest mystery on the team, and unfortunately he's the most important player, in my opinion, in turning this around. If he could start playing like he did in last February, I think we'll be in the playoffs. And I think he's just been such a disappointment overall. I don't even know what to say. It's so disheartening to see how bad he's been.
Yeah, so getting back to your Boylan question. So I do believe he'll be head coach at the end of the season. And one of the main reasons is it's been very well documented that Jim Boylan, when he was elevated to head coach, his entire contract became guaranteed, which was guaranteed through this season. And then in the off season, the front office decided they did not want a coach to go into his final year of his contract in Jim Boylan's situation. So they gave him a 2-year extension on top of the year guaranteed he had for 1920. So he essentially has 2.5 seasons guaranteed remaining on his deal. Not any super high salary, but certainly it's guaranteed nonetheless. They did not conduct a coaching search in the offseason. The ownership group and the front office was so convinced that Jim Boylan was the right person for the job that they just elevated him, gave him an extension, and said that was it. He's our guy going in training camp and certainly going to be the guy this season. So if they were to get rid of Boylan, that's a big if, that would be a huge indictment of not only the front office for making a mistake,
yes,
but the ownership for making a mistake too. It would essentially be you are getting rid of your coach that isn't a good fit slash wasn't a good fit for what reason? You know, are you getting rid of it because of clashing with your stars? Is it getting rid of it because the system doesn't work? Are you getting rid of it because you're clashing with the front office? It's my understanding, Casey Johnson's widely reported that Boylan has the full support of ownership, and that's key, of ownership, and of this front office. And so if they were to get rid of Boylan, wouldn't that, from a front office standpoint, be admitting that they made a significant mistake and that they did not do their due diligence in the offseason and looking for a head coach?
Yes, absolutely.
Yes.
To me, it doesn't matter if the front office believes in them. The players don't. It's clear they've checked out on them. It's clear they're not playing. I think effort's been an issue recently. I don't think they believe in Jim Boylan and what he's doing. It's clear in their comments before and after games. It's an embarrassment. And for the front office, yeah, that to me, it's a fireable offense. Like, I disagree with everybody who's jumping on them now for all the moves that they made and the draft picks and everything, you know, retroactively looking at it, because I agree with most of those. The decision to move forward with this guy is a fireable offense. And to me, the only I got two alternatives. It's either you let this guy go and Doug Collins or John Paxson takes over the team as head coach, or you do a full from top to bottom firing and cleansing and start over again. I love John Paxson.
Do you see that happening, though? I don't.
I do if it continues like this, because it's now starting to hit, to me, like Mach 5 with the fan base. You know, now people are really going off. I thought people were, like, willing to give it time. I mean, Kevin, I don't know if you felt this. I definitely sensed it, that the fan base, after the moves in the summer, had kind of started to come back, started to come around, started to believe again.
Yeah. A lot of optimism.
We heard it from the Chosen One. We heard it from everybody. Our friend from Australia. Everybody believed in what they were doing. And now those guys are clearly off. And now it's starting to really, you know, get through to the fan base, where I think it's going to get really bad in terms of attendance. And when that happens, even with the All-Star game, which might have had a positive effect, it's going to be so disappointing if they continue down this road. They're like they were last year, with far less injuries and far more health. It's inexcusable. So, to me, something will have to be done one way or the other.
Yeah, it's only be one win off their pace from last year with how injured this team was. I mean, right
and
now,
schedule.
Otto's the only player who's missed a significant amount of time that's just basically a high-end rotation player.
Yes.
I mean, certainly Hutch has missed it, but Hutch wasn't a top-7 rotation player. Otto certainly is, and so, but last year, you look at all the injuries overall to the entire roster, to only be one win off that pace now is just shocking. But to further your hypothetical, if they got rid of Boylan, can you, in good conscience, if you were the Reinsdorfs, could you give Paxson and Gar Forman another head coach to hire? I believe that that would be their sixth head coach that they've hired in their tenure, certainly in Paxton's tenure, being GM / VP of basketball operations. It is tough to give a front office a sixth head coach and say it's not working because of what, the coaches or the roster. And so I find it really hard to believe for multiple reasons that barring some major incident, specific incident, that they would get rid of Jim Boylan.
Well, I hope you're wrong on that, because the guy's a walking contradiction. He'll say, I don't bench guys, I don't yank guys, and he obviously does it with LaVine over and over again. He plays favorites. Obviously, LaVine isn't in his favorites, Valentine, and he continues to turn his head if guys like, you know, Ryan A. or even Kobe White continue to, you know, struggle up and down. You know, they have a very, they're given a lot of room to grow while other players are yanked. The guy's a disaster. There's no way. And I have issues, like, I can't believe that the front office can't realize, you want to turn over the development of our young guys like Wendell Carter Jr. and Kobe White to this guy? He's a disaster. You've met him in person, right? What's your take on
him? Personally, I've met Jim Boylan in person several times. He is, in person, very likable, and I come away from every conversation I have with Jim Boylan, as Jim Boylan the person, as somebody I am rooting for. I want him to succeed. It's Jim Boylan the coach that most people have an issue with, and certainly we talked about the rotations. Singling out Zach LaVine, I felt like in that game 3 minutes in was a mistake. Singling out Zach in the post-game press conference on that Friday, saying that he had three egregious defensive mistakes, I thought was a mistake to do that. Certainly when you look at the tape, it wasn't all on Zach. I watched every possession of those 3 minutes multiple times. I only saw what I would term one egregious defensive mistakes and a couple other certainly forgivable mistakes, but there were multiple on the first two possessions Shaq Harrison made what I thought were mistakes.
Agreed.
On those plays. To single out Zach, I thought your star, who's clearly your most talented player, was not a good look. Certainly Zach responded by having a historical game the night after, and I don't know if that was intentional in terms of motivation to do that, but regardless, it doesn't do you any favors when you do that to your star. And it's my understanding that one of the front office's frustrations with Fred Hoiberg was that he would not call out any of the stars, being Jimmy Butler and Dwayne Wade at the time, and that they wished he would. And so Boylan, maybe Boylan's kind of acting off what he feels like the front office wants him to do. But I thought in that instance, singling out Zach, taking him out 3 minutes into the game, was not good, and it was even further made worse because of what was said after the game.
So I read that in the Cowley article, that specific criticism of Hoiberg at the front office had, and if that is true, that's insane. You don't criticize, it shows a complete lack of touch with how modern-day players think. You don't criticize players in public unless it's a complete last resort. And I think Zach LaVine has been criticized far too much by Boylan in public, not just this year, but last year. And it's really dumb. And I can't believe the front office is on board with that. That's one of the few things I liked about Thibodeau, is he rarely, ever criticizes players in interviews. And it leads to boring interviews, but who cares? You know, I don't think it's ever a good thing is to criticize your player, especially when you haven't had a chance to watch the tape like he did in that after the post game of the
year. Yeah, you got to watch the tape.
Oh, my gosh.
Because your point of view from the sideline isn't 100% accurate. You need to watch the film. You need to see. Well, there are multiple things that happen on every defensive possession. And to single out Zach was not good. And quite frankly, where would this team be without Zach LaVine right now? If Zach were hurt, would they have three wins this season? I'm not sure they would.